I'm looking at myself again. I'm dozing off to REM. Hello and welcome to Look at the Adjective. We are here to podcast because we finally went to bed at a reasonable hour. I am the role model, Joe Mack, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who's quite partial to a super kick, a man who's even more partial to two or three super kicks, a man who just can't help but love 52 bastard super kicks. He's got a yeet infection. It's main event Mark Crowther. How are you doing, mate?
That's one of your best ones yet, I think.
I'm good, mate. 32 seconds.
Yeah, like you said, like you alluded to, a little bit tired. You know, these late pay-per-views, can't do them anymore, especially if they're not getting sleep, not much sleep afterwards. But yeah, feeling good, feeling refreshed, thankfully.
I think it's acceptable to do it for Mania and the Rumble, and that's about it.
Yeah, but when you do it on a Sunday and you've got work the next day, it's a bit ropey, isn't it? Luckily, I was working at home, so it sort of wasn't too bad.
Saying that, I just mentioned Backlash. Backlash is in France, so we should be all right.
What'll be the times like there?
It's probably going to be
probably do a 5 or 6 o'clock pay per view, won't they? Something like that.
They're an hour behind us, I think. So yeah, we should be greenlit for about 6 o'clock. Yeah, lovely.
That'll do. And then I got a Germany one not long after that as well, haven't they?
And Das Battle in Berlin.
Gunther.
Right, if Alex Wright don't get a cameo there and pop up as a running for Gunther, I'll be fucking fuming.
Give him his payday, Jesus.
So we are back with night two. Night one was a pretty quick turnover for me because I don't usually edit that quickly, but I was editing partway through this night two as well because, you know, fuck the AOP. First off, though, we've got just a little small talking point. AEW are going to be airing the backstage security camera footage of the All In issue with CM Punk and Jack Perry, hosted by the Young Bucks, because, you know, they don't show any backstage footage of the shit that they got into. So.
Allegedly, yeah. Do you think they're going to show it? Do you think they're going to show it? I don't know.
It's just going to piss the fans off if they don't, isn't it?
Yeah. What? All 700,000 of them or whatever it is.
Yeah, but they need them fuckers more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a desperation ploy, isn't it? if you ever saw one.
Yep. And I don't think there's any sort of universe where they can look good out of it.
They sent Edge out last week with his little rah-rah speech, didn't they? That was cretinous. And in that promo, he says something like, you know, let's not focus on the negatives anymore. Week later, let's show a clip of this if they're going to do it.
Because Tony Khan can't let shit go. He doesn't understand that as a human on this planet, that doesn't duck every fucking question like he does.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
He's just gone, I've got nothing to hide, mate. This is how it went.
Yeah. So. I mean, like you said, there's no, unless, I think Cornette or someone said it, but unless it somehow shows that Jack Perry got the best of CM Punk, there is literally no scenario where it helps him.
It didn't though, did he? So
no, he didn't. But it's literally, all it's going to do is going to confirm what he pretty much said on that podcast. Yeah, strangle him in a bit.
Moronic.
And they're not showing this bit where apparently he made Tony Khan fear for his life. That's what they said anyway.
That's probably because that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He's probably just bollocked him. He's probably just said, right, on that Helwani thing, he said, like, you're a clown, I quit.
Yeah.
He's probably not done it in a nice tone. He's probably gone, listen, you're a fucking clown, like, got in his face and said, you're a fucking clown, I quit. Yeah. And if he's shitting his pants from that, I'll take you around my end, Tony. It'll be a laugh.
Yeah, it wouldn't last 2 minutes.
Fuck's sake.
I mean, it just reeks of desperation, doesn't it? It's just unbelievable. Like, they clearly notice that, like, WWE is on an absolute roll. They just had one of the quote-unquote best WrestleManias of all time in terms of gate, and you know, and just in terms of the way it was received and stuff like that. And then they've shat themselves and thought, fucking hell, what can we do here? It just feeds into that thing where, like, CM Punk's not been there for what, 6 months?
Nine months.
And he's still...
Eight and nine months.
And he's still the one thing that they're fucking... They can't get over it, can they? Literally cannot get over it.
Hanging his hat on him to boost the ratings again.
Yeah. Biggest star in the company. He's not even in the company.
But going back to what you just said about WWE being on a roll, I saw something cretinous on YouTube in one of them shorts. It's our good friend Brian Alvarez, the Richard Hammond of wrestling, saying, AEW took a massive downfall, and it's the main reason is because WWE are hot right now. It's got fuck all to do with that. It's shit.
I mean, it was on a downfall before WWE really got the shit together. It was on a downfall even when they brought Punk back, because it was just so messy. Like, do you know what I mean? It was all over the place.
And the people who were watching Punk were not necessarily watching the rest of the show.
No, they fuck. I'd only, even when he came back for that very brief stint, I would literally just watch Collision, because that was the only show that made any sense.
Yeah. And even before that, you'd watch like the Punk segment. If you look at their ratings, there's a notable drop-off after Punk had been on.
Especially when it was the Punk MJF stuff.
And especially notable when the Bucks were on. The drop-off was huge, and it still is huge when them lot are on.
The fucking shit, that's why.
Yeah, dreadful. And this new gimmick of theirs, it's not been the needle mover they anticipated, is it, really?
What, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson, the EVPs? That's class, that, lads. Well done.
They can't even play into it when they had a legitimate EVP-style issue. They just fucking made sure he fucking went.
It's turd. It's really fucking turd. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll try and find the clips when they put it out, see what the hell they do with it, but it's not gonna, it doesn't help them at all, in my opinion. In business sense, it makes fuck all sense, and that just sums them up as a company, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not like I'm even gonna try and watch on YouTube. There will be a Twitter clip on it.
Oh god, yeah.
Anyway, Tony Khan, not just AEW, but Tony Khan, he's just cretin of the week this week, I think.
Fucking moron. Moron of the month.
Moron of the month, yeah. Anyway, we're going to get back to some good old WrestleMania. It's night two. So, Mark, we get another Meek Mill narrated intro.
Yeah.
Quality, as always. The packages are always mint.
Movie quality trailer, innit, pretty much.
And then, fuck me, sideways with a ragman's trumpet, Stephanie McMahon comes out.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, to be fair. Gets a decent pop, in fairness. Yeah.
I just find it weird, considering she got implicated in the My Dad's a Sex Pest trial.
I'd be pretty certain that she's clear of anything if she's been put on telly again.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
They've been quite decisive with the whole McMahon thing whenever these allegations are quite, it's like, right, he's done. You know what I mean? They're playing it off as like he resigned. Really. They're playing it off like he resigned, but no, they definitely told him, that's it, mate, get away.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine she's pretty clear and free of any wrongdoing or whatever. But
then she gives a speech saying, Helmsley's fantastic, and under the radar saying, off you fuck, dad.
Basically. putting Helmsley over to fuck, as you'd expect. And to be fair to him, he's not always been my cup of tea, but Helmsley has turned that company around, along with Nick Khan.
Yes.
So you've got to give him his credit where it's due.
Yep. It's not often I give it him, but yeah, I will give it him where it is due. First matchup, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the world title.
Yeah.
Punk on comms, lovely stuff.
I'm never going to complain about Punk on comms, he's brilliant.
It was quite a big story going through it, obviously, with Seth not being 100% from the night before. I think they needed that because everybody probably had eyes on the Punk at comms and what's Drew McIntyre and Punk's like interaction going to be. But also, adding on to that is Drew McIntyre wouldn't give a shit. if he's not 100%, he doesn't care how he wins it. He wants to win it, kind of.
Desperation.
Yeah. He gets a full bagpipe gimmick.
Pure Scottish.
Obnoxious. The most obnoxious instrument on the planet.
I was kind of hoping they'd bring back, you know, his old theme song. I like that song. Was it Broken Dreams or whatever it's called?
Fuck knows, but there was 40 Braveheart-looking guys with swords. It's like proper old Dean on the Scottish thing there. He's like, but I was a bit upset. There was no Iron Brew, no shortbread, no deep-fried Mars bars, no heroin. Disappointing.
You're going to do it, you might as well go all out, won't you?
Yeah, you may as well go put the hats on, like with the, you know, like the tartan hat with the ginger hair coming around the sides. Fuck it, go for it. And then this plant pot comes out. What the fuck is it? I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
Wizard of Oz playing accordions. That's what it did.
I don't know what was worse. I think it's night one out for always night two. Maybe night one slightly edges it, but Jesus.
I don't know. It looked like something Disney forgot to draw. Fucking hell.
What was it you said? It was like that. Is it Adam Rose?
Adam Rose. Yeah. All running around following into the ring. Oh, man. This daft cunt has leaves dangling off his back, man.
So over, though, isn't he? this is whatever the character is. It just works, apparently.
I don't get it. I don't get it, but, you know, I'll watch him in the ring all day long.
Yeah, he's first class.
It started off hot as fuck, Claymore, right off the bat.
I thought that was it. I said to you, I thought it was fucking Sheamus and Daniel Bryan all over again. Five-second win or whatever. That genuinely surprised me. I was like, whoa, fucking hell. But it never really let up, did it?
No, it was breakneck.
It was like, do you know what it was? I had a mixed feeling with it at first. Because at first I was like, I wasn't sure about it. But then I thought, I liked it. I really liked it by the end of it. Because I just thought it was breakneck, but it didn't go too long. I think Rollins is probably in that point where he's so banged up, it's probably the only type of match he could work.
Probably.
Because his knees was blown out by the end of the night too. Again, maybe. I think he's going to get some time off.
Like I said to you, this kind of match, it's a lot more palatable when it goes 10 and not 30. Yeah.
You lose your breath with it a bit when it goes longer than that, don't you? You're just like, hell, where's it going? You just lose the energy of it.
See, it was very AEW, but like their matches go 20 to 30 all the time, and it's just like after 10 minutes, you're done with it because you sort of, like, fucking hell, is it not over yet?
Yeah, but it...
There's a lot of false finishes as well.
Yeah, there was. Quite a lot. I enjoyed it, to be fair. Like when I look back on it, that was one of my favourite matches, favourite segment in its, you know, we'll get to the last later bits in a second, but like the entire opening up was, I thought it was really fun, fast paced. You had Punk on comms, who was just coming out with little golden nuggets. He's got a way with words that not many do. And like obviously you sort of alluded to, you know, he's best even on commentary. I mean, he is. He's one of the best commentators in the game, even whenever he does it.
I wouldn't want him on play-by-play, but definitely he's one of the best colour guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, he gets the two for the Claymore, then he just starts mauling Rollins, which is what you want because he's the bigger dude. He keeps getting distracted by Punk, but it was really good interaction to go through their sort of story arc, which was sort of arcing through the match as well. He gets a curb stomp, but obviously he's selling his knee. Can't cover quick enough. Pedigree, curb stomp, no dice. There's like top rope curb stomp and all this kind of shit. It was a nice insight from Punk on comms. He says him and Rollins are too similar. That's why they probably don't get along, which I thought was quite good. And then he tries the GTS, McIntyre.
Yeah.
Countered. Gets another Claymore, and it's a proper false finish fest. There's a curb stomp on the announce table. Another Claymore. Another Claymore. Bags him. Three.
Yeah.
It was just fucking hell. I'll be honest with you, them kind of matches where the finish don't really mean anything because you've got to do fucking 10 of them, do get on my tits. But I didn't have chance to get bored of this.
Yeah, it was because they said it was condensed, wasn't it? I mean, if it was spread out over 20 minutes, you probably would be like, fucking hell, where are we going with this? But there was a really nice story throughout it, like the obsession from like McIntyre to get like his moment, and like, but also at the same time he had that obsession with Punk, which ultimately became his downfall in the moment that we'll discuss.
But that's another thing that added to it. There was a story going through it. There's a couple of stories sort of weaving through it, and you don't get that with those kind of matches. Usually it's just, let's see how many moves we can do. I was quite chuffed for him, Drew, because I thought he'd been classed lately. And I'm thinking, right, well, that sets him and Punk up quite nicely.
So let's give it the big one to Punk, doesn't he, on comms?
Yeah, running his mouth to Punk and standing on the comms desk and all sorts of shit. It was great stuff. And then Punk finally drops him.
Yeah, that's a good pop on it.
A fucking great pop. Not the most Tarrant of Tarrants today. But
definitely not. But yeah, took his eye off him.
Give it an aim.
Yeah, it was an Eamon Holmes pop that. Yeah, took his eye off the ball for a second, Diddy McIntyre, and then Punk was like, right, fuck that. You've said enough, mate. You're getting done here. So he swept his leg away, didn't he? Started wailing away, booting to the face, took off his protective, whatever it is. I don't know what you call it, like protective, like cast or whatever.
Arm brace.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. Took that off, smacked him in the face with it. And you just think, here we go. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
And then out comes Priesty boy. Damian Priest comes out. He's been holding on to that briefcase for God knows how long, 10 months or something. I think people forgot he had it. Or I think people think he forgot he had it. But he cashes in. And Drew McIntyre's moment lasts about 5 minutes. Bless him. But
you called it.
Yeah, I think if it was just done randomly without any Punk involvement, I'd have been like, oh, that's fucking flat. But because it gives that even further bitterness to McIntyre for Punk now, it's just like, I like to think that maybe McIntyre gets it back beforehand, and then they have Punk and McIntyre for the belt, which just adds even more to it. That's what I'm hoping anyway.
You'd like to think so. I mean, when there's no involvement from an outside, like it's usually when the match has gone about 30 and it's been a knockdown, drag out, both guys are fucked and the guy smells blood and jumps in. Yeah. But this worked, it did work perfectly. On the night, I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, But with a bit of hindsight, I think it's smart.
But I think it feeds perfectly into this McIntyre character, because he's like, he's the whole thing with him is he's hard done by. He's been fucked over. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's going to add more layers to his character. I think he's going to be... I think it was the right person to do it on. If they'd have done this on, for whatever reason, I'd never thought it was going to happen, but if they'd have done this on Cody or Reigns or something like that, it would have been like, fuck it, what are you doing? What are you playing at? Yeah. I think it works. I think it would give more...
Fine line, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
Fine line. Yeah. If he's just like a miserable, bitter bastard... Then it's going to get a bit old, but I'm hoping he carries on his trajectory, because he has been class lately, and him and Punk has been class.
Yeah,
it's becoming the feud that you're going to want to see.
Like we were saying a few weeks ago, I think maybe they might. Hopefully, they got that penciled in for SummerSlam or something like that. I'm guessing that'll be when Punk's sort of ready to fully go again. Maybe.
You think so?
Yeah.
So we're moving swiftly on. Yep. Lashley and the Street Profits versus Final Testament, Notar.
With Bubba Ray Dudley as special guest.
Tubba Ray Dudley.
He looked very tubby.
It's like fucking, he looks like Alex Jones.
Yeah, this was shocking. I won't lie. It was one of them where you just sort of go get a snack, go get a drink, just leave this one. I think you did that,
absolutely.
Didn't you?
Well, I continued to edit the podcast and make a brew and have a piss while this was played on in the background. Gimmick to death, Snoop Dogg on comms, for fuck's sake.
He was off his fucking chops.
Yep, absolutely, off his tits. That was the best. Because basically all I could hear was him and shit breaking. So I was like, all right. It was. I can imagine it was messy as fuck.
Yeah, it was shite. not gonna lie.
Splash through, was it a splash through a table? Got the finish.
Yeah, it was. Tables are out. Crowd was into it because they fucking love tables there, don't they? In Philadelphia,
they love tables everywhere.
Street Profits and Lashley win. Not much else to say about it. Really boring viewed. Karrion Kross for me is just nothing. Pointless. Just stop that experiment. No one likes
dead
it.
Dead in the water, isn't he?
Yeah.
Dead in the water.
Big time.
Honestly. But something that wasn't dead in the water that I thoroughly fucking enjoyed was LeKnight versus Aj Styles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we said this one had potential to be a bit of a barn burner, didn't we?
Yeah, he comes out, LA Knight, over his fuck.
Over his fuck. Gives away some car keys. It's that woman. Yeah. The woman. Couldn't have a clue what she's just got. No idea where she is.
No idea. And when she goes outside and sees the fucking abomination that is back. The car. Straight down the garage. Can I have a fresh paint job, please, mate? I don't want to snap into fuck all, thanks.
What did you say? It was like a Hogan car back in the day. When WCW signed Hogan and he was in the back of that convertible or whatever. It was a bit like that, but I was looking forward to this one, to be fair. I've got a lot of time for LA Knight. Love AJ Styles. AJ's got new music, interestingly. I didn't hear much of it. I don't know if it's... I liked his old theme, to be fair, but...
I don't want none.
You were impressed with this one, then?
Yeah, he comes out, AJ, and he's jacked to the fucking gills, and then he just runs straight down, no fucking about. It's high octane again.
Yeah.
He took a mad bump over the rope, AJ Styles, and but there was a story again through it. He starts working the leg, nice stuff, and Knight sells it well, too. So, side rushing leg sweep, lovely.
Never see them anymore, do you? Jesus.
Bret Hart-esque.
Yeah. I used to see that in almost every match back in the day. Yeah. A Russian leg sweep. You just don't fucking see it, do you? It's mental.
It's like a backdrop. You rarely see a backdrop these days. There was a couple on here. Jay Cargill did a sloppy one on night one. For a bit, LA Knight stopped selling his knee, though, which was a bit disappointing, but starts biting his head. AJ's head. And then it's this fucking insane overhead German.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you can see AJ pushing off because he... AJ didn't want to land on his fucking napper, obviously, but it was it was quality, and that only got two. I mean, surely, you do that for a finish. That's insane, that.
You never get a finish for that, though, do you, German?
No, it's off the top rope, though. And the bump was mental. Calf crusher on the injured leg. Drop kicks the leg onto the post. Lovely. Backdrop on the exposed floor, which wasn't concrete because it was like do you know the way laminate flooring's connected? But it was plastic.
Yeah. Still fucking hurts, I bet.
Springboard 450 by AJ. Thingy gets his knees up. LA Knight gets his knees up. That can't be nice. AJ sells it brilliantly, though.
AJ's brilliant.
And then we get a bad landing on the top rope for AJ and then a BFT for free.
I thought it was really good.
Really good as well. AJ was class as always. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I like LA Knight, but AJ was the star in this. Do you know what I mean?
AJ carried it, didn't he? He made LA Knight look better. And that's what AJ does with most people, though, doesn't he? He's that good.
But he's at that age now where he can get away with putting...
Yeah, it doesn't hurt him losing, really, does it?
No. He can put the younger guys over and he elevates younger guys. I'm not saying LA Knight's much younger. I think LA Knight's probably mid to late 30s.
Yeah, he's a bit of a... He might be in his 40s nearly.
He's definitely...
late bloomer.
Late bloomer in the... he's having a renaissance.
Yeah, and... He's fucking well. He's over as fuck, isn't he? I mean, he's another one that they've stumbled on it by almost accident because Vince had him in that fucking model gimmick, didn't he? Like a year ago.
That was turd.
That was absolutely shite. And in almost a year, they've sort of just turned him round, and he's one of the biggest things they've got. I think you'd like to think he'd be pushing for like mid-card title now, though. You know, building him, slowly
it's,
building.
It's funny that they let a guy, you know, be a bit more himself, and he gets over. Funny.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Next up, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randall Keith for the European belt. Not European belt, US title.
US belt.
Same thing.
The European title, that's not been around for a while.
Yeah, they're on the same level, though. He comes out on a fucking prime truck.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing. Embarrassing, that. 59p in Aldi.
Is that how much they are? There was a period where he was fucking like, they were like gold dust them getting hold of them.
Yeah. Cheesy Owens entrance, just like the one we were saying last night. And I thought, oh, here we go. Fucking Owens is going over. It wasn't.
It's your turn. It's your turn and all this.
And then he comes out in a fucking golf cart and then goes back, gets Orton. Who sort of rides down on it, tells it to slow the fuck down on the way there.
Yeah, he went.
He just went, ooh.
So
the story is Logan Paul is the common enemy. Can these two vanquish him and then just slug it out between each other? The answer to that was no. But nice bit of heels, chicken shit, where like Paul slips out. At the start, and so like you two go at it.
It's right now.
they just got him and teed off on him. They suplex him on the announce desk twice within about fucking 4 minutes into the match, and I'm thinking another mental spotty fucking.
What a Logan Paul again. Mental spot.
No, just like it's like AEW. Do you not remember like we watched all of that Paige Janela thing, and it's like first dive. A minute in, second dive, a minute and a half in, and he's like, fucking hell.
Yeah, there's no build up to him or anything.
No.
That's all. But, that's when you watch a Logan Paul match, though, that's all his sort of matches are, really. Because he's still so new to it, but he's so athletic, you could sort of get away with it by just tossing him about, basically.
Yeah. Paul pushes Owens into Orton, so they both stomp him, and they both go to cover. And that's when it all goes.
It's when the alliance starts to break down.
And then they go, "Oh, we'll discuss it later," kind of thing. And then he slyly goes to RKO him, and they have a shit hockey fight.
I hate that. He loves that, doesn't he? Owens fucking loves them hockey fights. They're shit, aren't they?
Every fucker loves him these days. They do it in every match in AEW. They do it, and they do it more in WWE than they should do. And it's just gimpy comedy. And I didn't expect that from... Yeah, I just don't expect it from Orton, because Orton's quite, you know, takes his shit seriously.
Yeah. But same time, he's also done some fucking very unserious stuff as well.
Yes, he has. What did you reckon? Because it was all right. It was just a bit spotty.
I didn't love it. Don't get me wrong. I didn't hate it, though. I thought there was enough elements in there. Like, Orton's good. Still, he's still so smooth when he gets to, you know, do his stuff. Owens, I never know how to feel about Owens, to be fair. I mean, sometimes I don't mind him. Sometimes I think he's a bit of a prat.
I think he's a proper prat, but he's good in the ring sometimes.
Yeah. That's the problem. I can't really fully get on board with him because I just think he's still of that really, like, Young Bucks indie style mindset, isn't he? He's best mates of him, isn't he? So he can't wait to do like some spotty stuff like that.
I think the best way I can describe Steen is a more athletic Hugh Morris.
that's insulting, Charlie.
Yeah, but he does a fat boy moonsault.
Yeah, true. and then you same point, you've got Logan Paul who is still green to it, but he's got some impressive athleticism. So there was enough in there, but it's like, I wasn't like clambered to, like, I wasn't that bothered about it. Like the finish, I wasn't really concerned who won it. Sort of had a feeling Logan Paul was going to keep hold of it because did the other two really need it? I don't know. But then again,
no.
Does he need it? I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest. I just think it was a bit meh. Yeah, just there.
We neglected to mention that for the second year running, a bottle of fucking Prime walks out.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And Logan Paul has some brass knucks. Randy Orton takes them off him, gives them to the ref.
Yeah.
Right. But obviously, triple threat, no DQ.
Why did Orton do that's not it. The thing is, that's not in Orton's MO at all, is it? He would just get them and use them normally. I found that a bit odd.
I think he wanted to give him the punt, but the fucking bottle of Prime pulls him out. I had no idea who that was. It wasn't KSI this year. I had no idea who he is.
I show Speed.
Who?
You don't know who I Show Speed is?
You show Speed.
That's what his name is. It's called I Show Speed.
You got some speed?
Yeah, you want some? No, that's his name.
Who the fuck is he, though?
It's an interesting question.
so he's famous for being famous?
He's a Twitch streamer. He started as a Twitch streamer, and he got... he weirdly got really famous because he got obsessed with Cristiano Ronaldo, weirdly. It's hard to explain.
Wait, is that that guy that drops to his knees? When he comes out of a car, is that him?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Because I've seen a video of some nutty fan who just like in a Portugal shirt just drops his fucking knees and like and starts crying or something.
Yeah, it's him.
Is that him?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's he got famous. He was playing Fortnite or something. And someone asked him a question and he was like, "Who's your favorite football soccer player?" Because he's American. He went, "Cristiano Ronaldo, Suey." And then for some reason, that clip just went viral. Everyone just lost, thought it was hilarious. And ever since that, he's just he's built a career off just being obsessed with Cristiano Ronaldo. And he plays FIFA and all sorts. It's fucking strange, but the guy is famous as fuck now for some reason.
Well, he can't be that famous because I don't know who the fuck he is. And I know
if that's much of a barometer, is it? You not knowing.
It's not my wheelhouse, Twitch, I'm afraid. I've only just got YouTube.
He does YouTube as well.
I knew who KSI was because KSI used to stream FIFA back in the day. When you're looking for a tip of who to buy from the Belgian league.
KSI is more famous than him, to be fair.
I mean, I don't think either of them. I mean, I've heard KSI's music. It's dog shit. I mean, bottom of the barrel dog shit.
Yeah, it's bad. really bad.
He's this guy, he's like, "I'm not really good at anything, any one thing, so I'm going to try my hand at everything."
Fucking makes fuck tons of money off it, though, doesn't he? Jesus.
I know. And this is the madness. It's like, I can't remember at Emma's work, they asked the kids what they wanted to be when they grow up, and someone said an influencer. That's a fucking job, man.
Easy as fuck. Get paid fortune for doing fuck all.
Oh, man. If we could only do that for a living. McAfee was fucking atrocious during this match, by the way. Absolutely dog shit.
He's atrocious in general. He's absolutely shit. I hate him, on commentary. I think he's garbage. Never been a fan of him. I just think he's really he overpronounces stuff. He thinks he's hilarious. He's just not. It's not bad. I don't like him on commentary at all. I think he's been a lot worse on this second run through. I thought he was better on commentary the first time around.
I agree to that. More comfortable now, isn't he? He's not trying to impress McMahon.
True. Good point.
So, yeah, he got really spotty, false finish here. They do a pop-up power bomb into an RKO, which I thought was quite cool.
Don't forget that Randy booted Speed in the stomach and RKO'd him on the table.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Which is quite funny.
I wasn't really paying much attention at that point because I'm thinking there's a fucking bottle of Prime getting RKO'd here. What's that all about? But I think his main RKO spot was the pop-up powerbomb, getting it off there. And then Logan Paul runs in, lobs Randy out. It's the frog splash for three. I've seen worse.
It was all right. It was just a bit meh. It was just, five out of ten. Something like that.
Most weeks.
I don't like his frog splash. I don't like the way...
No.
It's too much height on it, if anything. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, by the time petrol-y.
It's a bit obvious. But by the time he's coming down, he's already done about 1,000 froggies in the air, and it's just like, no, you can't beat the original Eddie.
No, you cannot. Well, there's arguments who did the original, so the reason why Eddie did it was because his tag, well, it was never called a frog splash, it was just a splash, wasn't it? But his tag team partner, Al Barr, back in the day, was the first one to do the frog bit. And Eddie thought that looked cool, so he nicked it. Yeah. And then Van Damme did it, obviously. So.
Who the fuck's Al Barr? Eddie's the man.
Not Al Barr. Al Barr's the singer at the fucking Dropkick Murphys. Art Barr, sorry.
Arm Barr.
Yeah, number 92. Next up, we get Bayley versus Io Sky for the women's title. One of the women's titles. Bayley looks absolutely mint.
Yeah. Weird entrance. Sure about the wings.
Yeah, I wondered about that. You said, is she Egyptian? And apparently there's some park near where she lives that's got an Egyptian bit in it, and that's where it was influenced from.
Niche reference.
there's a park near where I'm from in Stretford, and it's got a load of, like, you know, knackered equipment and, yeah, crackheads and fucking, and, like, empty cider bottles, and that's going to be my entrance.
Just cans of Carlin on the floor and that.
Not even Carly, mate. Fucking hell. Skull.
Skull.
Oh, I thought EO Sky looked mint too. Outfit was less batshit crazies and askers. And hopefully no bins tonight is what I've put.
Yeah. No trash can flying in the air in sight, thankfully.
I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was good.
Although, I had a small gripe. I thought there'd be some sort of damage control running, and I didn't get why there wasn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's almost like you don't want a run-in, but you almost think, well, why wouldn't there be one? Strange that there wasn't. Is that going to feed into it, though? Do you know what I mean? Are they going to build that, you know, you left me high and dry? Anything like that, I don't know.
Possibly, but there was no solo on the first night for the Bloodline tag match. I mean, obviously, we'll get to that in a bit, but
yeah.
I thought that was really weird for the Uso match and the Bloodline tag. I thought that was weird that he was nowhere to be seen as well. So,
yeah, that's a good point. But, yeah, considering it was like essentially no DQ as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically. I mean, it started quite brawly, which I quite liked. Sky starts working the leg because of the knee injury that she's had. Goes to the floor for quite a bit, to be honest. But Bayley has fucking excellent babyface fire. She really does.
Yeah, she's really good.
My favourite spot was she did a sunset flip into the buckle, which I thought was wicked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still sells the leg. Sells the leg all throughout it. That's a bit annoying when she gets to the top rope. It's like, don't go to the top rope if you've got a naked leg, though. But, you know, you can sort of move past that.
Title match. Desperation.
Yeah.
I think it was like a star make. I know she's already won, but like on her own, like star making performance from Bayley.
Oh, mate, she was selling like an absolute fucking champ.
Yeah, what's a Tommaso Ciampa? Yeah, facials have got a lot better as well, haven't they? I think in terms of obviously, like, I don't know if it's because she's been on the other side of it. She's been like she's been playing heel for so long that she's like now she's back as a baby face, like. She's got that extra experience and stuff like that. So she's, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if it's got anything to do with that.
I always struggled to buy her as a heel because she was like the Uber baby face, wasn't she? She was like Cena levels of Uber baby
the
face.
And all that. But it got stale, didn't it? That's the problem. It got stale.
Yep. And that's why Cena needed to turn heel at some point. But he didn't. Yeah. So
look what happened with Reigns. They fucking pulled the trigger with that one, didn't they? But I think sometimes you need it to start believing you in a babyface again, don't you? You've got to change to get better almost. But yeah, I think it was like a star making performance again for her. I don't know if it's going to continue, but I think Bayley got someone they can really hang the hat on for a while now anyway.
You'd have thought so. I mean, nice story in it. She's got no quit. Obviously, there's build to it as well. It's been built quite well over months.
Slow burner over there. For a little while.
Long-term storytelling.
Yeah. It's niche.
She gets an elbow drop, a rose plant, and gets the pin. And the crowd was absolutely loving it. And she was made up with it. So another fair fucks to her. Yeah, man. But then we get to the big one.
Yeah.
What we've all been waiting for. And they didn't wheel JR out, which is a shame because I always liked it when they wheeled JR out on the main event.
He's still under contract, isn't he, with the other lot? Is he still there? I can't remember, actually. If he wants any sanity, he shouldn't go. He shouldn't be there still. Jesus.
He only fires Kevin Kelly. But I found out why he fired Kevin Kelly.
So about some Twitter outbursts, isn't it?
This is fucking. He was praising this fucking nutty right wing QAnon fucking idiot.
Film. Oh, was he?
Yeah, but I find that extremely hypocritical. Don't get me wrong. I think if Kevin Kelly's into that shit, cretin.
Yeah.
But Tony Khan's dad was a big donator.
Yeah. There's a lot
of
people.
Big donator
on that
to Trump.
Product that have done stuff like that.
Yep. Jericho. Young Bucks are Trump fans, you know. So I just find it hypocritical from Tony Khan, to be fair, but
yeah, not like
well, no. Cody's entrance is fucking mega,
yeah,
but it is also Helmsley as fuck.
Yeah, straight out of the Helmsley playbook, wasn't it? But it was
yeah,
the grandeur of it was pretty impressive. No one does it like these lot of Mania, do they? They bring out the big guns. The production's different level. The music,
they weren't that mental though. Like the Vince era ones were mental. Some of them were mental. Miro on a fucking tank and stuff like that.
But it's just the way it just felt like from minute one of like they did the package. If you just had that, this is it now. Big fight feel. Big prize fighter. Going, you know, the biggest of the biggest of the biggest, and it just felt like that from minute one of the sort of the build to it, didn't it?
Even Brandy got a pop.
Yeah, that was actually a surprising pop. That I didn't expect that. I didn't expect her to be there. To be fair, like she's never been there since he's been there, since he's turned up back up, has he really? But
no, but Helmsley came out with Stephanie, and you know, with his big crown on his head and big skull crown on Cody's head.
Brandy didn't stay out, which was I like that. She didn't need to stay out of ringside or anything like that. Just.
It plays into the story. It's like, this could get messy, boys. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you don't need to be here. Roman Reigns looks absolute cold, hard cash in the till, doesn't he? Yeah. He does.
Just money on money, isn't he? That you know, people look back at him and think, obviously, I'll probably have my critics for it. He didn't defend the title enough and stuff like that, but... I mean, it's a legendary title run, whatever you say about it.
It is poor, though, 31 defences.
It is, admittedly. But to get to that point where you've held the belt for that long and it's not really got boring, you know, the storylines have always been relatively fresh. It's a testament to him and probably Heyman as well. I know he's obviously got massive influence on that as well. So,
But is it poor? He didn't need to defend it, right? If you look at Hogan back in the day when he was on his like lengthy title runs, you only saw him at a pay-per-view or Saturday night's main event. He went on fucking superstars defending the fucker.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like he's an attraction, Roman Reigns. So it's like what MJF said in that press conference, said, I don't need to wrestle all the time. I'm an attraction. And Roman Reigns is his right.
Yeah. He doesn't need to defend it every 2 weeks on SmackDown, does he?
Does he fuck? We've just got conditioned into watching belts changing hands and fucking at the drop of a hat and title defences on fucking Heat or Velocity or Jax or any of these little marquee shitty shows.
Jax. No, you're right. I mean, I think it's a legendary run. Like, it'll always be up there when you talk about, especially modern era, there's nothing really that touched it. Punk's run was good, but it was nowhere near as long. You know, obviously defended it a bit more, I think, but it'll go down in history. And like you said, when he comes out, you think, fucking hell, that's a star. No matter what you think about him, he is brilliant. You know, great look, great body, handsome fucker. Got Heyman by his side, so you know he's a big deal. He's just,
Apart from them two little slip-ups Heyman made with Curtis Axel and Ryback Backtrack. You know.
that's few
small ones. Like,
yeah, but other than that, he's been pretty much, you know, bang on, hasn't he?
Pure pageantry, absolute pure pageantry.
Yeah,
and nobody does it better.
No, they get in the ring and it's just, you can feel it, can't you? It's palpable, the tension.
Yeah, with a knife.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, this is it now. This is a proper big, proper main event. Yeah, it's not the bro chat shows going one on one, is it?
But it built and it started methodically, and they were feeling each other out, and then Cody gets at a table, and then Roman puts it back.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, we're because he's a proper heel. He's like, no, we're gonna do this the right way, but then gets the fucking kendo out on the sly and whacks Cody the end of it. Great.
Yeah. He's really good. I mean, people don't give him enough credit. He is good in the ring. I mean, I know he's been given the old Cena treatment with like the spears and the Superman punch over the years, but psychology is really good, isn't it?
Yeah, but no one gave Cena any credit until the last, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Cena's getting his quote-unquote flowers now. He's not there much, isn't he?
He's not being pushed, yeah. Like, fuck. They go out into the crowd, a suplex on a strategically placed box.
Yep. Cushion that fall.
And Roman starts dominating him, and Cody sells like the ultimate underdog. He gets his little hope he's in. Fucking super kicks. I think I'm done with the super kicks now after night one.
You got super kick fatigue.
I just don't want to see him after that Uso abortion.
That's got to be one of the most disappointing egregious matches I've ever seen.
Egregious uses of shit wrestling I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's up there. It's up there for bad matches. It really is. It's not Janela Page level.
It was,
but
bad,
it is fucking up there. You've got to call it out, because if that was on AEW, we would be fucking slating it to death.
Yeah, it was woeful.
Rightly so.
It was absolutely woeful, whatever it was. I don't know what they were trying to do with that. Heated grudge match.
Yeah, but if it was on AEW, Meltzer would be fucking jizzing all over it.
Fellatio.
Then Cody gets his little comebacks with the Dustin Snap Slam disaster kick. And then Reigns hits a crossroads.
Yeah,
what do you think of that? So he started doing that.
That's quite old school, that trope. But do you remember back in the day that Austin had hit the Rock Bottom, or the Rock would do like a stunner?
It's not as good as the Rock, so therefore it only gets two, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been a cunty heel finish if they decided not to put the belt on Cody. Spoiler. I think everyone in the fucking world knows now.
You've got fucking Roman from bloody Belarus listening now. He's going, "What? I watched it yet, lads?"
No, Roman's from Pensacola, Florida, mate.
Sorry, I was trying to think of the only we've got people from like Lithuania listeners, haven't we?
Yeah, they won't get it until 2027 or something. What I liked about Reigns is being overly cocky, which is great, because he genuinely believes like no one can beat him.
Yeah,
because he knows that even if they can beat him, he knows what he's got in his back pocket. Yeah, he's got his back pocket. Save it for a rainy day job.
Yeah.
There was a really nice Cody flurry ended in a bionic elbow. And then the low blow Cody, and he gets powerbombed through a table, but he just couldn't put Cody away.
Yeah.
But Cody can't put Roman away. And it's that war of attrition where they just got to pop out everything that they can. Heyman's facials on the side, fucking gold. Absolute gold.
Yeah, you feel like every emotion, don't you? If you actually sat and watched a Reigns match with Heyman, just looking at Heyman's face, you could just sort of the story that he tells just with his face expressions is amazing.
He has got a very good face for that kind of thing. Rock Bottom countered into a 7.9 on the Steamboat.
Steam Goat. Yeah, he is the goat, isn't he? I'm drag, sorry.
Well, Ricky Steam Goat, yeah. So they carry on using each other's moves, and then Jimmy Uso comes in, super kick, obviously. Jey Uso comes down. Why play the music?
Yeah, just come running.
Didn't need it. They go at it on the ramp, and Jey spears Jimmy off the stage, and he still can't put Cody away.
Into another strategically placed little pile of tables or whatever they were.
He gets two crossroads, and then Solo spikes him as he's about to go for a third.
Yeah,
Cody kicks out, and Solo's face was great, and he's telling he's in charge. Then he's like, "Fucking finish him," kind of thing, and he's like, "I know." And then he gets a spear, which only gets two, and then you hear it. Yeah. pow, do, 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 do. Fucking John Cena.
Big pop. Big old pop.
It's a mini Tarrant, let's just say.
It was a mini Tarrant, yeah. We'll live that.
AA to Roman. AA through the table to Solo. And then here comes the final boss.
He's fuming.
What a cunt he looked.
Yeah, he was shouting, he was saying some expletives into the camera because it got sort of, they cut it off, didn't they? They censored it.
I couldn't hear a word he said because everything was getting bleeped.
Why are they doing that? What's fucking the point of bleeping it? It's a fucking live broadcast.
It's on their network.
I don't get why they do that. It's weird.
The Rock looked like he'd gone into Rollins' dressing room and gone, yeah, I've left my gear at home. Can I borrow some?
Got any leftovers?
Yeah. And then
little stare down with Rock. We've seen it,
but he looks like an old fucking man now, doesn't he? His ears are massive, bald spot, and he's got these shit trainers on that look like Skechers. And like, bald, you know, old people wear Skechers.
The bald spot is so, it's like macho man levels. It's really bad.
there's a bit when he chucks Solo out of the ring, his hair went forward and he went, slicks it back straight away. It's like nobody can see it.
Yeah, it's like, you'd think, surely a man that rich would get like some sort of hair transplant therapy on that. Like, because that needs sorting. That's really bad, that bald spot. Now, I can't believe how bad it is. I swear it wasn't like that last time he was back. Has it always been that bad?
It was bad when he faced Ari last year. It was pretty bad. We were laughing at it then. I thought the Rock seeing his stare down was a bit overshadowing. I just thought, does it need all this?
It was overbooked to fuck at the end, but I was loving it, to be fair. It's hard to not get excited when you've got them
I get that.
In the ring together again after however long, and especially with they've got conflict when they've been back recently, it's been like, oh, you know, best mates and stuff, so it's quite good. He dealt with Cena very quickly, didn't he?
It did. Cena was gone, and then the Shield tune hits. Which, and everyone's like stopping, looking where the thing, and I'm thinking, has Moxley's contract run down?
That's something. Could you imagine that would have been fucking crazy, wouldn't it? I thought that as well.
It would have been
shit.
It would have been shit because he's shit. But Rollins comes in.
It made sense in a way because he'd said on a promo a couple of months ago that, you know, I'm the perfect person to be your Shield or something like that. So it's sort of fed back to that.
Yes, he did. Yeah. So yeah, Rollins comes in with a chair and then gets Superman punched straight off the bat. He didn't do a fucking thing. He's dressed in full Shield gimmick. And I thought, well, that's a bit fucking pointless. Yeah. But obviously someone comes back later on and then the gong goes and the Rock's like, fuck's Taker. And obviously, he hasn't been watching wrestling for about 20
25, years. 30 years.
Because he always comes from the back, from behind. Always. And he chokes Slab Rock, and I'm just thinking, this just is fucking mental.
He always comes from behind. Just ask Michelle McCool.
Hey! thank you. it was absolutely fucking radio rental, wasn't it? Mental,
ravenous.
Oh man, everyone's popping.
The only thing it was missing, was Stone Cold. You got Stone Cold back in for.
Well, I even said, "Who's fucking next? Stone Cold, Hogan." Fuck no, Michael.
They got Hogan on Jesus.
Brett. Bless him. I mean, you know Brett. You know how much I love Bret Hart, but it took him about fucking 40 minutes to get to the ring. He's fucked, isn't he?
I know, good. Jesus. Have you seen him walk? Fucking hell.
No, he'd have had that car, that Slim Jim car come down.
Oh, yeah.
Thought they were going to fucking reanimate fucking Savage.
Yeah, so, I thought Stone Cold was out next. I was like, go on then. Let's have the glass shower as well. We might as well finish it off.
So Taker disposes of the Rock,
yeah,
and then Roman gets the chair, and Cody's selling in the middle of the ring, and Rollins is selling on the ropes, and you think, oh, here we go.
But callback.
He went well, but this was his downfall. Mm-hmm. Instead of just wiping Cody out, he goes, I'll get you back for something that happened 5-6 years ago or whatever.
Longer than and that.
It's probably 10 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. And he lamps Rollins with the chair over the back. And then Cody gets 3 crossroads. And Cody is the absolute roof-raising pop of the century champion.
Yeah, that was double Tarrant, I think.
Yeah, that was, you know, double Tarrant on the rocks, literally.
Double Tarrant, slight with a touch of Eamon Holmes as well. It's fucking, yeah. It was, if there was a roof on the place, it would have blown it off, but it wasn't. So even
with a roof, mate, we could have heard it.
I know, yeah. Even with an open air stadium, you still felt the pop of it, didn't you? To be fair.
Yeah, it was like 7.9 on the Richter. It was fucking earth shaking. And then it is the absolute, it was a bit emotional. It was emotional. Yeah. And
I did tear up a little bit, to be fair.
Samantha Irving. Yeah. Well, adding to Cretin of the week.
Yeah.
Or more of the month, Triple H.
Why?
He put a tweet today saying Samantha Irving, because Michael Buffer said she was doing great. She did really well. And he went, Triple H was, she is the WWE's Michael Buffer. I'm thinking, you dickhead. Don't be tiring her with that brush. Michael Buffer's shit.
She's well burned.
Absolute horse shit. She's the WWE's Bruce Buffer.
She's well better.
So all the faces come down like old, like a proper old school. The baby faces vanquish the heel, man.
That was a really, really good way to finish. That's what WrestleMania should be. The big bad guy's vanquished and the baby face gets the moment. And it was brilliant.
And it's the biggest one since Bryan, and Bryan's was nowhere near this fucking big. They pulled out all the stops. Extravaganza.
Yeah. Yeah.
Orton down, Punk down, Owens down, Zayn down, except Cena still in the fucking ring. That was possibly the maddest fucking thing I have ever seen, but it worked.
Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. It really was.
I wanted to hate it because me being me going, it's overbooked, but I couldn't hate it. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Batshit fucking crazy. But then I thought that last
5-10 minutes was just fucking. Some people, I've seen people compare it. It's like Avengers Endgame where they bring back everyone and all this, and it's like that. It's like that's sort of what they were going for. But it was, I just thought it was mental. But I just loved every second of it. Just thought it was brilliant. And I thought the match before all the crazy stuff started was good as well.
Do you remember on night one where we said, why did it need so many people for the babyfaces to win in that Mysterio? Andrade match.
Yeah.
Well, Roman only had The Rock, Solo, and Jimmy Uso.
Yeah.
And Cody had Cena, Taker, Rollins, fucking Jey Uso.
Yeah. But I think,
Fire with fire.
Yeah, I think that was what it was, wasn't it? I think it was, you know, that you knew they were going to come down, so let's have something else up our sleeve and all that. I just thought it was brilliant. And like I say, I was a bit emotional at the end. Emotional. I love Cody, and I think it was really nice for him to get his moment. You know, obviously I thought it was going to be last year, but I think it probably made it better that it was 2 years in the making.
Certainly did. Then he cuts a promo and asks Bruce Pritchard and Helmsley. Surprised Bruce Pritchard was involved in him because he's usually a little Vince acolyte, isn't he? I'm looking at Helmsley going, how short is Helmsley? Because he was always built at 6'5". He's like he's shrunk.
Maybe he has.
I don't know. Not as hunched as brute as Beefcake. That fucker's got no neck. I watched this Dark Side of the Ring the other day. I've never seen anything like it. Look like the wizened, you know, hunched over butler at a haunted house. Come this way.
This is your room.
But you can tell how much Cody loves Helmsley. Like he's like a father figure to him, isn't he?
He absolutely loves him. It's like he's his idol, isn't it?
Yeah, and then he shakes hands with literally every single person in the arena. All 70,000 of them he goes around, every fucker.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. It's a brilliant way to finish it. And an overall little hit and miss weekend, but there was some good stuff, really good stuff on there as well at the same time. I thought second night was better than the first night, definitely.
So much so that I feel like I'm obligated to stick Nobody Does It Better from James Bond in at the end, like we did on that Partridge bit.
Nobody does it better than WrestleMania.
Clang, clang and clang. And then he gives Nick Khan a hug. Fucking Nick Khan with his platoner on. Love that. I've only ever seen one in the flesh. And yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, that is a platinum Rolex Daytona with a chocolate bezel.
Yeah,
he's about 120 grand's worth of watch. Yeah, 120 grand's worth of watch. I remember someone bring. I was working in Harrogate, and this kid come in, and he was like, "I was cleaning my dad's house out, and we found a Rolex Daytona." I'm like, "Oh, of course you did, right? Mm. Okay." And I said, "Have you got it with you?" And he said, "No." Mm. He said, "It's this one though," and show me the platona. And I went, "Yeah, we won't be buying that, mate." And he went, if you legitimately got one of them, mate, you're looking at about 100 grand, and that's a bit too rich for our blood. Thanks.
100 grand, fucking imagine paying out for that. Wouldn't happen, would it? Just wouldn't.
Oh, kayfabe. What are we giving away?
Exposing the business.
Yeah, exposing my business. Right, so... we've done our Mania season. We're going to have a week off because we've recorded and I've edited more in the last week and a half than I have done in for fucking ever. And then we're going to be back.
We're active, though. That's the good thing.
We are as active as you possibly can be. Well, as we can possibly be, anyway. But so, Nick, we're going to be back in a couple of weeks with the 24th of February Nitro, the night after Super Brawl, and see what's going to go down there. Then there's only three Nitros until Uncensored, so it's quite a little short turnover, and see if Uncensored is better than last year. It's got to be, surely.
It'll do well to be worse.
So it's a quick one, Mark. I'm just going to ask you for your match of the weekend.
To me, it's the main event of night two. It had the pomp of a huge match. Good storyline before, you got to the sort of the manic, crazy, everyone and everyone was there, and even that bit, even though it was overbooked to fuck whatever, I loved it, and I think it was the outcome I wanted, the obvious outcome, but they don't always go with the obvious, and it was just a lovely send off for the weekend,
and hopefully it is a send off for the weekend, and next year they pick a different fucking artist to do the tune.
What did you, do you agree, or did you have any other thoughts? Best match,
I think there was better
quality in
quote
ring,
unquote,
yeah.
In ring, yeah. But as an absolute mental spectacle, you can't go for anything but that. MVP, it's got to be Cody and Roman, I think, as a duel.
Hmm. I think The Rock was good throughout it.
Yeah, he was, but you can't really take anything away from them two, mate. I mean, no. It was Cody's. That's been Cody's wet dream since about 8 years old, mate. You know what I mean?
Crowning moment.
And now, where's he going to go? Because sometimes the chase is better than the actual destination.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, there was, we're not going to it in full, but there was a segment with him and Rock on Raw last night, which indicates that's not finished. So I don't know where that's going to come in. Is that next year's main?
It's probably going to be. I'd probably say it's SummerSlam because I reckon they're still going to keep that Rock and Roman thing, the bloodline dissolves kind of thing.
Do you have, if they've got time for it, do they do Rock and Roman, Cody and Rock at SummerSlam? Roman's involved somehow, bit of a fuck up, bit of a fuck somewhere, and that's how they built, maybe? I don't know. Love to see.
The bloodline coagulates. That's a better one.
Yeah.
And Dick of the Weekend. Pat McAfee, probably.
that's not a bad shout. Yeah, he's pretty poor.
The Usos.
Usos. It's got to be the Usos.
Yeah, easily the Usos.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Pat McAfee as much as you do, but he was pretty atrocious on some things. We're not going to ban it of the night. And if we did have a ban it of the night, it would be Cena. You can't see it. What? Your hair, John.
It's gone, mate. Give it up.
Right. So, if as always, if you'd like to interact with us on Twitter, it is @AdjectivePod. You want to subscribe to us on Spotify, give us a nice review. Maybe a 5-star David Meltzer if you're feeling generous. Super kick that subscribe button. In fact, fuck it, no way you're super kicking that subscribe button. I'm not seeing a single fucking super kick ever again.
Drop kick it.
Being high knee in the corner, CM Punk style it, whatever you want to do. And you'll get all our podcasts downloaded automatically. And if you'd like to leave us a review, anything above 4, but we'll take anything at this point.
Anything above 2.2, please.
Yeah, anything above 2.2. That's the adjective scale. So, all done for another year, hopefully, next year. Because we'll probably be doing this next year.
Yeah.
Because you love it.
I think it's good to do it.
Yeah. Of course you do. You don't have to do anything. You don't even take any notes. You watch it. I have to edit the bastard.
Yeah, but mine's more about feeling. Mine's more about feeling. You know, you're the play-by-play. I'm the colour, you see.
Right, well, in that case...
I'm the Pat McAfee.
Swat McAfee. Right. Is there any further business, Marcos?
No, nothing else.
I'll say those new three words. Roman and Rock.
We're off the clock.
And Mark's a cock.
1 I remember you said it yesterday. Or the day before. Even.
Fucking hell. You've got the memory of fucking Dory. Not Dory.
I was trying to think about it when I went, because in my head I was thinking you were going to say LA Knight or something. That was... I couldn't remember what it was.